Hi all, it's Gail. A quick favor before we start the episode. If you enjoy listening to She Explores and you have a moment to spare, please rate us and write a review wherever you listen. Sharing with a friend is great too. These are both ways to support the show because it helps other people find it. And even though we've been around for a while, we really do need the support too. Thank you for being here. We're entering a shoulder season for hiking, but don't fear. Danner is here with the Danner Trail 2650 Campo GTX to help keep you dry and outsmart the weather. Equipped with new Gore-Tex Invisible Fit technology, the Trail 2650 Campo GTX has a waterproof, breathable membrane that promotes airflow for faster drying. Also, thanks to its bonded construction, there are fewer seams, making for a sock-like fit and reduced weight on your feet. Thanks to Danner, you don't need to worry about getting held back by waterlogged hikers. Move through nature with confidence with Danner Trail 2650 Campo GTX hikers. Learn more and find your perfect fit at danner.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
But the thing was, is I didn't know anyone who had cancer, and I didn't even know how it looked or what to do with that. So it was terrifying, and I never, ever wanted anyone to be in my shoes. Mm. So, especially in the hiking community, because this is like my group. So I was like, well, if I'm out there, at least all the other people, if they ever get cancer, will at least know what one person looked like. Mm. So they won't ever feel like, oh my gosh, I have no clue how to navigate this.
As you'll hear her say a couple of times in this conversation, Rebecca Sperry is a data person. She's a writer, too, which helps explain her belief that numbers tell a story. Earlier this year, she shared some telling data points on her Instagram, Socked In Hikes. In the last year, Rebecca's had four biopsies, a partial mastectomy, a port placement, three echoes, 12 rounds of chemo, 20 rounds of radiation, and 13 additional rounds of chemo. She's also hiked over 700 miles since being diagnosed with breast cancer.
It's be a big farm. Uh-huh. So these are all farm fields. But there's really good bird watching in certain seasons. And also, I have seen a lot of butterflies like that.
Really?
Yeah. Which is kind of nice. It's like, I want to take you here because there's...
I met up with Rebecca in late August for my first in-person interview in about a year and a half. I was excited and a little nervous, per usual, so I figured that we could break the ice with a walk. I took her to Bellamy Preserve so I could show off a trail that's local to the seacoast of New Hampshire, the state where we both live.
I would say that New Hampshire, because it's a pretty small state, and it's not even just New Hampshire, it's kind of the New England area, is a very tight-knit community of hiking enthusiasts. We have this list obsession up here where there are all these hiking lists that have been developed to kind of motivate people to get out there and see different parts of the Whites.
The Wabanadanak, or White Mountains, cover about one quarter of the state of New Hampshire. If you've ever hiked here, I don't need to tell you how rugged the terrain is, how it feels like you're walking stairs two or three steps at a time the whole way up. There are a bunch of lists with self-explanatory names that New Englanders use as part motivation, part guidebook. The Terrifying 25, the 52 with the View. The most famous is the 48 4,000 footers, which some folks spend a handful of years hoping to achieve, and some knock off within a summer. Rebecca is the kind of hiker who's most likely to do the latter. But in June of 2020, she was working on a different goal.
So tracing all of the trails in the Whites, that entails hiking every single trail in the White Mountain Guidebook, and I was using the 30th edition, and it has roughly 1,420 miles of trails. Typically, because of all the backtracking, it ends up being around 1,800 miles of hiking. And it was more just a personal goal that I wanted to do. It wasn't anything to do with setting an FKT or anything. It was just something I thought would be fun. And unintentionally, if I ended up doing it, I would have set the FKT because there hasn't been another known female to accomplish this in a set amount of time. Usually this is something that takes people like a lifetime to do.
Rebecca's goal was to hike all of the trails in the White Mountain Guidebook within a calendar year, which would have resulted in a fastest known time, or FKT, of the achievement for a woman. 1,800 plus miles. That's like walking from Bangor, Maine to Miami, Florida. But this challenge isn't so straightforward. It's not like backpacking, and you can't do it all in one trip.
So if you go back to June of 2020, what would a week in your life feel like, or what might it look like?
Basically hiking all the time, every day. I'm a day hiker, so I don't really backpack. I've done some backpacking trips over the years, but I mostly just do day hikes because it works out with my lifestyle. And I have a husband and an apartment and everything, so like going home after a hike is kind of important to me. Plus, it's nice to take a shower and just relax. So I would say a day in the life would be drive north, go hiking all day, drive home, get up the next morning and do it again. That was my life in June.
Rebecca does the majority of her hiking on her own, and she likes it that way.
I started hiking in 2015, and at least in my mind, that's when I kind of think of my beginning. And I went hiking because I felt like going on a hike and my husband didn't feel like going. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go by myself. And up until that point, I had never been a solo person. I always had to be with my spouse. And so I was like, I'm going to try this. And I did. And it was like the best experience ever. I felt so empowered and so proud of myself to be a woman and to be out there all by myself hiking this mountain. And I'm hooked. Like I became hooked to that feeling and just feeling proud of myself and knowing that I can go do this thing. And it doesn't have anything to do with my gender. And now it's just almost odd to go with other people. I've done a few hikes this year with other people, and it is so weird. I've done thousands of miles by myself, and then to shift to being with other people, it's very strange. But I think that it's something that everyone should at least do once, because it really can make you feel super empowered and proud of who you are for being able to do something like that, not relying on anyone else, knowing it's up to you.
You'll notice that some of the audio is from our walk, and it's perfectly imperfect, so I hope you'll bear with us there. Rebecca spent most of her career as a teacher, using her time off on weekends and in the summer for hiking. But that June, she was setting off on a new adventure. She was leaving her students to get her MFA in creative writing.
Okay. So 2006, I got my bachelor's in history. Never used it. I worked at United Healthcare for a while doing health insurance and just that kind of corporate life thing.
Yeah.
And then went back to school in 2011 for a master's in education.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got that and I taught for 7 years and I worked in education for 9 years. And then in 2020, I applied to get into the MFA in writing program and I got in, which is awesome, but all the classes are run through school hours. Teaching hours. So I was like, well, I have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And I was able to, with my husband, like, financially we could afford with me. I had to take out student loans to, supplement my income. But I stopped working in 2020, and then I got cancer. Wasn't expecting that one.
Whoa.
Like, the same week I started college, I started the diagnostic process. So I had to drop down to one class because it was totally not going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
And
that's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming enough to be like, here's this big life change I'm undergoing.
Yeah. And then
to add.
I was like a nightmare. I was like, when I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like delusional. Sitting in my classes on Zoom because it's all remote at this point.
Yeah.
And I was not even able to process the classroom stuff because I was so overwhelmed with cancer-y stuff. And then I was doing that. I was working on hiking all the trails and the lights and I had to stop that. Cancer just took everything and threw it in the garbage. But I was able to.
If you missed that, Rebecca just said that cancer took everything and threw it in the garbage. Her husband found a lump in her breast that summer. Rebecca was 37 at the time, with no family history of breast cancer, which made it surprising but no less devastating when it turned out that she did indeed have breast cancer, and not just in one breast, but in both. She had to give up her quest to trace all the hiking trails, but she told me that loss was nothing compared to what she was facing. Rebecca wrote about the experience of diagnosis on the Instagram where she usually shares her hiking adventures, Saucton Hikes.
We all strive to change, to become better versions of ourselves. And as a hiker, I have always looked to the trails to break and rebuild me. But the fact is, you cannot be broken on the trails like you are broken in facing a cancer diagnosis. So trying to kind of push yourself from a physical standpoint and see what you're capable of. And especially in that thru hiking community, I'm not a thru hiker, but I have a lot of friends who are part of that community. And you put yourself out there and you're doing a 2000 mile hike, you're going to be physically and mentally beat down on so many levels, like so many times. And even doing the things I was doing before getting diagnosed, pushing my body and mentally going out there and pushing my mind to get through these really sketchy situations, it's not going to make you get to that level of what you'd be facing when you're facing your own mortality. So when you get a diagnosis like cancer, it's like another level of like mental, and I think more mental than anything, fortitude. You have to face this terrible, terrible thing that is so scary. You can't even really like imagine it's happening to you. And I think a lot of people who go out and do these really long endurance sport type things, they're out there because they want to push themselves mentally and physically to that level of almost not nirvana, but you know, you really want to see what your mind is capable of. And you're not going to do that on the trails like you would facing something like cancer, I think, because it's just so real and raw and literally life or death. Not that you'd ever want to get cancer, because it's not fun at all. It's horrible. But it's made me have to become so much stronger of a person mentally that I never could have ever reached this level of mental fortitude on trail. Because it's just not possible.
Another element of this that Rebecca and I talked about, unlike pursuing feats in the mountains, getting cancer isn't a choice. It's not a life-threatening activity that you opt into. For Rebecca, everything that happened next was a choice, and they were deeply personal choices at that.
Yeah, that cancer just took everything and threw it in the garbage. But I was able to still do a billion things while going for treatment, so.
Yeah, it feels like you picked all that stuff up out of the garbage, like one by one.
Yeah, I stayed in one class, so I was able to take one class. And last semester, I took two classes. And then I just kept hiking even though, and I didn't realize it, it wasn't intentional, but like the other, probably a couple weeks ago, I was looking at my calendar and I'm like, I've hiked every week since last October. When I was cleared.
Whoa.
So almost 52 weeks straight, and my goal is to hike for all 52 weeks straight since I started chemo.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's your definition of a hike?
Like, hiking for me means I would consider this a hike.
Yeah.
Although when I was hiking through treatment, it was like, I have to go to the bell maps, or I have to go do something that's like up a mountain of some sort. I set this goal that I would hike every week of chemo, because I had 12 weeks straight of like official chemo where you lose your hair.
Yeah.
And all that. So every week of that, my goal was to hike one mountain per week. And then to do 5 days of exercise during, like, on top of that. Ooh. Which was like, it wasn't always fun.
Yeah.
It was, I think, because mentally I was almost like dissociated at that point from the reality of what I was going through. So I could do these things because I wasn't quite mentally aware of how I was in this really serious thing. I don't know, maybe that was the case, but I pushed my body to go do all these things, and like I was able to do it, so that was pretty cool. It was like kind of data for me almost, like, let's see what I can do even though I'm in treatment.
Rebecca hiked once a week after getting the all clear from her doctor, who actually recommended moving her body as one of the best antidotes to the harsh side effects of chemo. I asked her about her definition of a hike, because it's different for everyone. Getting her body up and over mountains is a big part of her life, what makes Rebecca, Rebecca. We'll hear more about what hiking through cancer means to her and what it might mean for others after the break.
Do you have a favorite fabric type? Well, ours is merino wool, not only for its antimicrobial and moisture-wicking properties, but also because it's a renewable and eco-friendly resource that insulates amazingly well. Gail and I spent the last few weeks cozying into the fall weather in head-to-toe merino from minus 33. They are a New Hampshire family-owned company with history in wool textile manufacturing who believe everybody of any skill level and experience deserves quality and affordable gear. Merino wool products make it possible to stay comfortable and dry year-round depending on the fabric weight. The minus 33 mid-weight base layers are ideal for these seasonal temps. They can be worn hiking, camping, lounging, for snow sports, fishing, and more, depending on the level of activity and temperature you're in. So while Gail cozied up with a good book after spending the morning meandering the coast, I trekked through peak foliage in the mountains, and next week we might swap activities without swapping out comfort. Choose your own adventure in the most versatile fabric by heading to minus33.com and pick out some essentials. Plus, get 15% off by using the code 15EXPLORE at checkout. That's minus33.com, code 15EXPLORE for 15% off.
Let's talk about camping gear staples. When you're getting ready for a trip, do you have a few trusted items that you always bring with you? Maybe it's that old reliable camp stove, or a favorite mug for your morning coffee, or a tried and true backpack that you know how to organize just so. Over time, these items begin to tell their own stories that reflect all the accumulated nights in different places. With scuffs and wear softening over time, our most treasured items might tell us what we value, and they definitely remind us where we've been. A rumple puffy blanket has been a staple for She Explores host Gail Straub for quite a while now. I asked her about it.
So 7 years ago, we got a Rumple blanket and we took it with us around the country. So it only feels fitting that we would continue to take it with us now. I think my Rumple would tell stories of nights around my shoulders, around a campfire, keeping me a little bit extra warm and cozy. I think it would sometimes say, "Let me out. You haven't gone out and done anything in a while, so come on, let's go out and play." I also think that it would say that you get around in a good way.
It has literally been with you for a lot of miles. You can discover Rumple's huge selection of puffy blankets and other goods at rumple.com and use our code SHE15 for 15% off your first order. That's RUMPL.com and code SHE15 for 15% off.
Danner makes boots that are as versatile as the terrain we traverse and as dynamic as the stories we bring back home with us. Take the new Danner Trail 2650 Campo GTX. Let the Pacific Crest Trail mountain passes and dramatic vistas inspire your everyday hikes in the Trail 2650 Campo GTX, named for the dynamic 2,650 miles of the PCT. Complete with lightweight and breathable uppers, the Trail 2650 Campo GTX boots are as comfortable as your favorite pair of running shoes and fit like a second skin. They're equipped with an all-new Gore-Tex Invisible Fit waterproof breathable membrane, which is made with a bonded construction that not only helps keep you dry, it also reduces the overall weight and improves the fit. Plagued by blisters? Thanks to the EXO heel system and Vibram Mega Grip technology, your feet stay secure as you scramble over rocky terrain. Worried about dust and rocks hitching a ride while you're out there? The Trail 2650 Campo GTX hikers are Dustgator compatible so you can move through nature with confidence. Learn more and find your perfect fit at danner.com. We're back on the trail with Rebecca.
Like every hike I did during the diagnostic process was forced because I didn't want to like leave the house. I was terrified all the time. I didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
But then during chemo, I was like, I'm going to do this. So then I hiked every week, at least one hike. Usually it was like two. I think I did over 12 weeks. I think I ended up summiting 28 peaks. And it was like some of them I bagged, you know, like did two peaks at a time. But I did three 4,000 footers. And it was really awful. I can't believe I did it. Like, Mussolaki was one.
That's a longer one. I know it's more gradual, but...
Yeah, I think it was maybe 10 miles.
Yeah.
That was my longest hike through treatment. And I was like, it was wicked awful conditions. Like, and I just remember it felt so hard. The way chemo makes your brain feel, you're like really foggy. And you're anemic and stuff. So like, I had like no ability to get enough oxygen, kind of, you know, like you're breathing heavier. And
yeah.
I think that was probably the one I was most, maybe the most proud of out of the three. And then I did Pierce. Mm-hmm. And then I did Tecumseh.
All the while, Rebecca shared her journey on her Instagram, Socked in Hikes. And that was intentional.
Could you tell me a little bit about the way that you kind of identify yourself on your social media? I noticed that you sometimes call yourself hiker girl or...
Cancer girl.
Cancer girl.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. Maybe it's because I feel comfortable using these terms for my own identifiers. And it's not intended to be... like cruel or anything. I just, or me putting myself down, but I definitely have, so I was the hiker girl. That's all I did was hike. And everyone knew me for hiking, kind of. And then all of a sudden I got cancer and I had to make this strange transition in who my, like what my identity was. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult as a person who had been identified as a hiker for so long to make that transition publicly and not feel like I'm going to lose a whole bunch of people that are my followers because I'm no longer doing the same content. I'm still Cancer Girl because I'm still in treatment. So Cancer Girl is right now. I'm in treatment. I'm the Cancer Girl. I'm going through cancer treatment. That's fine that that's who I am. And I'm fine if that's how I'm identified as publicly. Once I'm done treatment, I think I'll probably make more of a shift towards back to where I was, where I'm more focused on hiking all the time. Hopefully. And I've still continued to hike. It's just my mind is so focused on cancer that that's my primary focus. I think more so than hiking all the time, where that was all I had to think about. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I felt like it was an easy way to identify myself one day.
Well, it's also kind of taking ownership of how you might perceive others identifying you, because social media is so... you know, we are able to quickly put people into a box or like feel like we have an understanding of quickly, you know, it's like this quick recognition. So I felt like it was a little bit you taking ownership of how you took, you were like, I'm claiming this title for myself versus other people claiming it for me.
I never was aware that it was a big deal that I had shared it publicly. And that was one of the first things that a lot of people had mentioned that was so amazing, is that I was so open and public, and I thought in my head, so I have panic disorder. So I have a mental health disorder that talking about that publicly isn't something that is acceptable still. And you're kind of looked at differently, usually if you have something like that. So I've always kind of kept that to myself. And getting cancer, I mean, what is the shame in that? I can't see it. So I just was so open about it. And I think that people were really surprised that I was so willing to be so open about something that was a big deal that I should have kept maybe a secret and didn't realize or was supposed to be something I didn't talk about publicly. But the thing was, is I didn't know anyone who had cancer, and I didn't even know how it looked or what to do with that. So it was terrifying, and I never, ever wanted anyone to be in my shoes. So, especially in the hiking community, because this is, like, my group. So I was like, well, if I'm out there, at least all the other people, if they ever get cancer, will at least know what one person looked like. So they won't ever feel like, oh my gosh, I have no clue how to navigate this. Also with hiking, I didn't know what you're capable of doing while in treatment. And so I almost did, like, a... study on myself, I guess, like a research project to see what you could do while you're in cancer treatment physically in terms of hiking. And I kind of wish, I don't want to ever go through cancer treatment again, but I wish I had the opposite study to show what treatment would be like if I did nothing to compare, which obviously I don't have that information, but it is interesting for me. I'm a data person, so I love to look at data, and I like think about, okay, well, statistically, what was I capable of doing, and how did that benefit me to have like that data out there almost?
When Rebecca was diagnosed with breast cancer, she didn't know of any other avid hikers who were also going through treatment. So she wanted to model what was possible, but also stress that just because she chose to hike weekly, it doesn't mean that there's a right way or a wrong way to move through cancer. Chemo is a progressive treatment, so each week Rebecca felt worse. Sometimes there were only a handful of hours in a week where she felt relatively okay. She understands that not everyone would want to spend that time hiking, but there are those that might want to be active, which is why she started a community Instagram account called Active Through Cancer. There, Rebecca shares photos and stories of people living and moving with cancer in their own words. As a writer, words are really important to Rebecca. There are a few common ones that she hears in relation to breast cancer that she wouldn't use for herself.
It's hard for me to see myself as being brave or being inspiring or being strong because I'm literally just doing what anyone would do to not die. Like, it's literally that's what you have a choice. You can say, no, I won't get treatment and you'll die. That's your choice. Like, eventually you will die. So it's kind of, it's weird to be called brave or strong when I'm not doing anything other than trying to not die, which is literally what anyone would do, I think. So, and I think the other thing is it's not necessarily that people feel, I mean, if, I'm sure I'm inspiring them because I'm putting myself out there and doing something that they haven't had to deal with. So that is inspiring. And it's, I love that I'm able to do that for people. But I think that I just see myself as being like anyone else. So it's weird to be considered brave or strong. And I think a lot of people say those things because they just don't know how else to say thank you for putting your story out there almost. So I try to imagine in my head how that's kind of what they're coming from, is just wanting to be thankful.
Speaking of gratitude, one way that Rebecca shows hers for the trails in the White Mountains is by adopting one in the Pemigewasset Wilderness.
What are you doing today to kind of give back to the trails that have given you a lot?
So back in 2017, I found out about trail maintenance and a trail adoption program and stuff. So I adopted a trail back then through the White Mountain National Forest, and then I ended up having to give it up when I got really busy with school and work a few years later. And then with all the stuff I've been doing in the past year and a half or so, I haven't been doing any sort of adoption. Well, when I stopped doing the tracing project, I had more time and I was like, I have got to adopt a trail again because it's so amazing. And I highly recommend that everybody go out and do it, truly, because it really is wicked fun and super empowering. Like, I get to go out there with loppers and like a handsaw and cut things, and I'm allowed to do it. It's, which is sort of weird because usually you feel very hesitant. You don't want to disturb anything. So I have adopted, I think it's 5 miles of trail in the Pemigewasset Wilderness, and it's called Cedar Brook Trail. And it's kind of honestly a hot mess. It's a really it's a rough trail. It's kind of in bad shape, but it's one of my favorite areas and it has one of my favorite logging camps on it. So I was like, I have got to have that trail when I found out it was up for adoption. So you go out and you do trail work on it. Usually they like to have you go twice a year, so spring and fall. And then you do just a quick report through this website that just says like what you did, what work might need to be done, and how many hours you spent. And it's really nice because you get to help and you get to give back and you get to be part of another little community that honestly is full of amazing people that really deserve more recognition because they're out there doing amazing things and not necessarily getting any recognition for it. And they're all volunteers. So yeah, I actually have written a few posts about it. I wrote one on my website and I wrote one for another website too. So
is there a training program like when you get started?
Yeah,
so that makes sense.
There's like a Facebook group. That's kind of how you find everything. So it's White Mountain National Forest Volunteers. And so you get on there and then they put a list up all the time. They're constantly updating the list of what's an orphaned trail. So what's not adopted. And you can pick whatever you want, you know, the whole list of trails. And they're usually not that long. They're usually not 5 miles.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've helped build trails before and you're like, oh, wow, we had a great day. It was like half a mile or something. It takes a long time.
And you're only doing what's considered level one maintenance. So that's doing drainage, brushing out the trail. And if there's any sort of like small blowdown type stuff, which I'm talking like hand saw, nothing major, no axes or hand or power tools. It's really the most highest level of work that you're doing. But it's really awesome because you can see what you did physically. You can, like, actually see the difference that you've made. And you can know, like, it's almost like you have your own little trail. I'm like, that's my trail. I kind of am a little bit protective of it, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, it's really a great feeling.
As you heard, Rebecca didn't give up on her MFA when she started cancer treatment last year. She's a fairly prolific writer. It's her best tool for sorting out her own life challenges and also for reaching out to others.
I am going to be finishing my MFA in 2023, and my hope is to write at least 3 books by the end of this. So by next summer, I'll have hopefully 3 done. I know that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I have one that I have finished. It's in the first draft, so obviously it's still not even close to done. But my goal was this past summer to write a book on my first part of cancer treatment, sort of. It's like a memoir, and it's about hiking through treatment. And my hope is to become an author, I guess. And I've really kind of gone back and forth, like, what is the point of this degree? And I am kind of involved in freelancing as well, but I definitely feel more drawn towards wanting to be an author and publishing books versus doing freelance as a full-time job, I guess, because I love the idea of publishing books. I've always wanted to be seeing my name in print on the cover of a book. So that's kind of my goal, I guess, ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. And this first book that you wrote is about the first part of your cancer treatment.
Yeah. So the original goal was to just do one memoir and write about the last, basically, a year of my life. And as I was going through this summer and writing the first draft, and that starting from, it starts a little bit before I got diagnosed, but starting from August of 2020, I got to a point in the writing process where I just realized this book will be way too long if I do a year in a book. And for me, it was like, I can't fathom the idea of continuing to write one book for that long almost. I needed to have a carrot needed to come a lot sooner in the process for me to continue going. So that was the main driving force. I wanted to break it up into 3 books because to me that was easier to bite off in pieces like that. So the first book is, right now it's about 67,000 words, which is about 230 pages. It still has a lot of work that needs to be done to it, but my goal, and I'm not sure if this is even a reasonable goal, is to get it hopefully published by the end of this year, or maybe a little bit later than that. But yeah, I love getting it out. I need to get it out of me. And my master's thesis is going to be something totally unrelated to cancer. And to get to that point where I'm able to process that piece of work, I have to get through this piece. So that's kind of why I'm forcing it out of me, you know, as I'm literally living it still.
To wrap up our conversation, I asked Rebecca to read another excerpt from her Instagram.
Hiking has taught me again and again that I can face extreme physical pain and stand in the deepest, darkest places within my own mind and survive. That I can come out to the other side. It is the trails that have been both my reprieve from the constant onslaught of cancer treatment and my place to go to remind myself that I have done hard things, that I can do hard things, and that I can face my biggest fears and come out the other side.
So what do you think about the other side today?
I'm actually really excited. And I finally have reached this turning point in the process. So a lot of the time, people who are in treatment, they are terrified of ending treatment. They hate treatment because it's awful, but they don't want it to ever end because it's a safe place. Because you're doing something to stop the cancer and everyone's watching you. You have this whole team that's supporting you. And then all of a sudden, it's all gone. And you're out there in the world alone. It's really scary. As I've said before, I am the cancer girl. Like, I have this sort of identity. And it's like, well, who am I when I'm done this? Like, what happens next? And when I finally came to the realization that I want to trace the trails again in starting January, it was like all of a sudden I realized, okay, I'm still someone else. I'm still the other person. And I can go back to being her. And I'm very excited now to start to, like, have free time and not be getting treatment every 3 weeks and, like, maybe have normal blood counts, like all of those things that I haven't had for a year, and even just school, like I actually can be a normal person and not constantly be thinking about cancer and treatment and worrying about if I'm gonna die. Like, you don't really get to come up for air when you're in treatment the whole time. You're underneath the water, and now it's like I can almost see the surface, and I'm going to be able to breathe again soon and not be suffocating. At the same time, I'm very hesitant to say in my head, you won't get cancer again. I have the tendency to kind of prepare for the worst, so I always am thinking, well, it'll come back, it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an awful way to think, but at the same time, that's just how I feel like I guess protect myself maybe from being caught off guard. But I'm really looking forward to having school and hiking be all I have to really think about again and not have to be worrying about treatment or cancer.
Rebecca recently shared, quote, I wish people understood that cancer is fluid. It's not a one and done. It's forever once you have it. There is no finish line, because even when you cross under the threshold of that treatment center for your last round of active treatment, there are still months and years of follow-up appointments, scans, tests, or additional treatments that aren't as aggressive. She goes on to say that, quote, people want a neat and tidy bow around the box of cancer treatment, but that isn't how it works. It's a mess. That bow is a knotted piece of string that I will spend the rest of my life trying to untie.
I guess the only thing I would say is just that I hope that other people who are going through treatment know that they are capable of doing amazing things too. Because I'm certainly not the only person that's able to do these things. I just happen to be the person that people saw doing them. That would really be it, I guess. And that I hope that if anyone does have any questions or anything, they're comfortable reaching out to me. Because that's the main reason I don't have a private Instagram, is because I want people to know that they can talk to me like I'm a normal person, to just chat with me if you have questions or if you have anything like you need to talk about.
Rebecca isn't alone. 1 in 8 people with breasts will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. As the tape kept rolling, Rebecca and I chatted about our own individual experiences with mammograms, ultrasounds, and biopsies, our opinions on genetic testing, what it's like having dense breasts. Rebecca told me that she likes to think that because she got it, 7 of her friends may not. Sitting there, I didn't think of her as hiker girl or cancer girl or even writer girl. I just felt grateful to have walked in tandem with her for a morning, and that kind of open conversation about our breasts is possible. Thank you so much to Rebecca Sperry for taking the time to talk. You can find her on Instagram at SocktinHikes, and I'll link Active Through Cancer and other resources in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd recommend queuing up our interview with Lindsay Ingram called Meeting Yourself Where You're At. It's all about managing an invisible illness, long-haul COVID. Another great one is A Few Big Leaps, featuring Becky Marceliano. Thanks to our sponsors for this episode, Minus 33, Danner, and Rumpel. You can find She Explores on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to our biweekly newsletter to stay up to date. You can find me on Instagram at Gail Straub. I promise I'll post again one of these days. If you enjoy listening, there are different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explores podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is licensed through MusicBed. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Gail Straub. She Explores is a production of Rabble Media, released on Wednesdays. We'll be back on November 1st. Until then, stay curious.